Welcome to the Best Ever You Network, celebrating our third year on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. Thank you for helping us become a number one rated live show with over 1 million global listeners. Our team is on a mission to help you discover your authentic best self and bring it to the world. And now, here's our show.
Well, I'm frozen, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully I can talk. It's so cold here in Maine. It's like negative I don't know what. But I'm Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, one of the co-hosts of the show. And welcome. Thanks for joining us. And hopefully we'll warm you up if you're in a cold spot. But Walter, is it warmer where you are? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. In California, it was cold for a bit, but now it's warming up. And it's I think it's in the 70s now. It's pretty nice. Oh.
Yeah. Well, it feels like it might be like negative 70 here in Maine. I'm not sure. And our guest is from Massachusetts, and I don't think it's – Megan, is it much warmer there?
Oh, no. We've actually got snow right now. Snowing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that means we're going to have snow. Thanks a lot for that.
Anyway, yeah, we're sending it your way.
Yeah, thanks. Get it out of there as fast as you can. Let me just tell you, we're going to do a 30-minute show today instead of an hour show. And Megan and I had just like this chance meeting. I decided kind of on a whim to go to the Massachusetts Conference for Women. I was totally scared, and I was kind of like feeling old and out of touch, and I'm like, I'm going to go do this anyway, and I'm going to bring along my son, and we're going to go do this thing. It was really funny. We got on the Concord bus from Maine and landed in the bus station and took a cab where we probably didn't need to take a cab. We could have walked. That was really cute. And there you were in all your beauty in this gorgeous cream dress with your beautiful red hair. And you're just one of those people. You're just like, who are you? And so much fun to be around, so knowledgeable and so sweet. Thank you for taking me in that day and making me comfortable, Miss Megan Rothschild.
Yeah, thank you for even approaching me. I really appreciate it.
It was so fun. And Tell us who you are so we know about your Chick Media and what you do with the Melanoma Foundation, because it's awesome.
Yeah, I always lead with the cancer story because I feel like it's completely, you know, defined who I am today. But I'm a 10-year, almost 11-year cancer survivor, and I work as I work in PR and marketing for the Melanoma Foundation of New England and also as a spokesperson for the organization. It's a regional organization based out of Concord, Mass. And our mission is really focused on programs and early detection and education surrounding melanoma, increase the melanoma awareness to help prevent people from suffering from such an easily preventable disease. And then in my spare time, I also own and operate a marketing and PR firm called Chick Media, which is really kind of how I got involved with the conference that we met at, the Massachusetts Conference for Women, because I attended because Chick Media is really focused on women-run organizations and women-owned businesses. And we try to help women find their voice through, you know, marketing and PR and communicate the message to their audience in a way that really will help their product or their service shine. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, okay. Well, listen. Maybe you could tell us, like, what happened when you first found out that you had a melanoma, and like, what was your emotional response, and what did you go through to kind of deal with that?
Yeah, it was definitely a rocky emotional road. I was 19 years old at the time, going for my sophomore year at college at Roger Williams University in Rhode Island, and I was a big tanning bed user since the age of 17. I loved going tanning during the winter months. I loved laying out during the summer. I don't think I had purchased a bottle of sunscreen for, over 2 years. I went to school in Rhode Island right on the water, so it was just so easy to lay out and hit the tanning beds. And I had a very strong desire to be tan. Like you were saying, Elizabeth, I'm red hair. I have more of a fair complexion. I totally hated it growing up. And so I started that habit for about 2.5 years. And during my sophomore year of college, I noticed this mole on my stomach had started to change. It started to itch. I had never received any education about melanoma or skin cancer, but something kind of caught me off guard about it. So went home for my normal checkup just like you go, you know, every year you meet with your primary care physician. And I pointed it out to the doctor, and she looked at it, and she actually said to me, it looks totally fine. And something inside me, again, being 19 years old, being any age, when you go to the doctors, you want the doctor to tell you you're fine. That's what we want to hear. And so for whatever reason, though, I just knew that it wasn't right. And I really pushed, and I said, no, I really want to have this mole removed. And she fought me on it. And, you know, she said, you're going to have a scar. You're going to ruin your skin. I really, you know, this mole has regular borders. It looks normal. I think you should just let it go. But I, for whatever reason, wouldn't leave her office until she wrote me the referral to have it removed. So I went in about a week later to a plastic surgeon and had the mole removed. And they sent me on my way, told me to come back in 2 weeks to remove the stitches. So at that point, I had just turned 20, and I went back to the surgeon's office, and this doctor came in. I went by myself to the appointment, and this doctor came in, and he looked at me, and he said, is there anyone here with you? And I said, no, it's just me. And he looked really kind of shocked and upset by that, and he said, there's no one in the waiting room that I can go get. And it was at that point where I was like, what's going on? You know, what's happening here? And I said, no, I'm here by myself, unfortunately. And he said, well, I really hate to have to tell you this when you're here alone, but you have melanoma. And being 20 years old and hearing that, you know, he starts saying things like cancer, survival rate, lymph node extraction. And the only thing that I could think of was, you're an idiot. You did this to yourself. You know, I knew, even at the age of 20, that I shouldn't have been damaging my skin like that. I knew tanning wasn't the best thing for my skin. And the minute I got this diagnosis, it was almost like a kick in the gut, because I knew that it was because of my behavioral choices that I had made starting just at the age of 17 that had led me to a cancer diagnosis.
Megan, what do you think would have happened if you had listened to the doctor originally who said, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine? And I know this is going to be kind of a loaded question and almost a leading one as well, because I know sometimes you're really pretty, and I know sometimes when you go into the doctor, they just look at you and go, you look great.
Yeah, it's like a you look healthy, you know, type thing.
Yeah, you look healthy, you look great, you look fine, your hair's done, your makeup's on, you look fine.
Well, and especially being 19, too, you know.
Yeah, there's like, there would be no, you know, there's no kind of outward you know, symptoms where it would lead anybody down a path that you're ill. What do you think would have happened if you wouldn't have insisted on removing that?
I don't think I'd be here, honestly. I think that, you know, we know that melanoma is the deadliest form of skin cancer, and it travels inside the body, it goes to the lymph nodes, and then lymph nodes bring the cancer cells to surrounding organs. And that's how melanoma becomes deadly, because it metastasizes. And frankly, if I hadn't, listen, mine was at a stage 2, which means it had already started to go deeper into the into the skin. So if I had listened to her and hadn't listened to myself and to my gut feeling, I would have found it at a much later stage. And once you've progressed to a stage 3, stage 4 melanoma, your chances of survival start to diminish. So there's a good chance I wouldn't be here today.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, first of all, it speaks to the idea of, you know, intuition, tapping into your own intuition and sense of truth, but also it speaks to, like, doctors, that they can be wonderful lifesavers, but they also can be fallible, and you really need second opinions, and you really got to be really careful about the doctors you pick. Is there other advice you can give to people or women out there about, like, skin care and what they should do about this sort of thing?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, first to your point about getting a second opinion and things like that, I always say to people, and this is for women and men, if something is off, if something is not your normal, or you have a gut intuition or a gut feeling that something is wrong, you have to be responsible and take charge of your own health. And I think that that is a message that we can communicate to all ages, all genders. It needs to be top of mind that if this is not right in my body, this is not my normal, that's something you have to push. And if your doctor says you're fine, don't listen if something's nagging and telling you not to listen. And, you know, in terms of specific for skin care, you know, especially for, well, it, you know, we know that melanoma is the second most common form of cancer for young people ages 15 to 29, and that's primarily for women. And then we also see the highest mortality rate of melanoma for men 55 plus. So there's kind of two messages here. For the women, it's all about prevention and not being, you know, not having that need or that desire to be tan, to finding alternatives to getting a tan or using a tanning bed. There's sunless tanners, there's all sorts of things like that. Wearing sunscreen on a regular basis on exposed parts of your body, even where Elizabeth and I, during these cold winter months when there's snow, I still have sunscreen on my face right now, even though it's snowing outside, because we have to protect our skin all year round. And then for the men, for the older men, you know, and this is something that we always talk about with women, because wives, you know, wives are usually the people who are organizing the doctor's appointments and pushing for their husbands to get care. Men wait. They wait to get their skin checked until there is a serious problem. And that's why we see the highest mortality rate for melanoma in the male 55 plus age range. So ladies who are listening, get your husband checked.
I agree, and I've got 5 boys in this house, young men, boys, whatever you want to call them. And one of the things I do with them and have done since they were itty-bitty, because they play sports outside, you know, I've got baseball players who just have a hat on and their ears exposed and their necks exposed and their nose and face and everything and their arms, you know, their forearms. I, since young age, I've always taught them to put sunscreen on their ears, neck, face, everything, because they're really out in the sun, the beating sun, especially the baseball players.
That's really important.
And then you just said something that was sorry, what did you say?
No, I was just going to say, to your point, in terms of, we see that head and neck melanomas, head, scalp, and neck melanomas are extremely deadly. So that's great that you're already being proactive about that, because that tends to be the area where men, we see the most occurrence of melanoma, is that head, scalp, and neck area. So that's really important for the guy.
Yeah. And then you said something really important for people in colder climates, because the UV rays are, the science people are going to write in, aren't they really strong in the winter even if it's snowing?
Yeah. So
like UV comes through clouds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and it reflects off of the snow. So we've got our snowboarders and our skiers out there who think they're getting a windburn, and in reality they're getting a sunburn because the UV is reflecting off of that white, the white snow. And a lot of people don't realize this. New England actually sees the highest rate of melanoma in the country. And people go, what? We're, you know, in the cold and in the snow for 6 months out of the year. But it's because of the intermittent exposure that we get to UV rays through the sun. So this up and down of, like, we're, you know, baking ourselves in the sun in the summer, and then we kind of go dormant, we stay away from the sun during the winter months. Our skin responds very negatively to that. And so New England, even with the cold months, sees the highest rates of melanoma. So it's really important to protect your skin all year round.
Well, so did this experience that you had with like overcoming this, did it have any kind of impact on your career choice and on the PR firm that you're working on now?
Oh yeah, completely. I always say that, you know, knowing what I know now, even if I could go back in time and not have the cancer, I would still do it, because I would still go through all of it, because it's totally set me on a different career path. And, you know, I was going to school for journalism at Roger Williams University in communications. And I think that, you know, that I already kind of knew I loved writing, but I never really embraced public speaking or being on TV, radio, things like that. That was never really my thing, like being a personality or anything like that. That was not on my radar. But the minute I wrote my first piece, I was freelance writing for a magazine out in Rhode Island, and they asked me, they kind of were talking about this upcoming piece that they were going to do on skin safety and going to the beach and all this sun awareness. And I said to them, well, you know, I've had melanoma. It was about a year after my initial diagnosis. Do you want me to do something with that? And they were like, immediately said, oh my God, we want you to write a first person story. We want you to be on the cover of the magazine showing your scar, which was, you know, obviously a kind of a scary thing, because they wanted me to expose my belly with this awful purple scar. And for whatever reason, I agreed to do it. And about a week after it got published, I received all sorts of emails from people thanking me and being so happy that I was willing to share my story and open up a discussion between them and their daughter or them and their son or whoever. And then the Skin Cancer Foundation actually called me and said, we need young survivors to be available for interviews about this topic. Would you be willing? And so I said, yeah, put me on your database. And within, I think, 3 weeks, they called me and said, would you be willing to go down to Times Square and pose for Marie Claire magazine? And I was like, yeah, I think I can manage that. So it became like, and from there, you know, I did a ton of spokesperson work for the American Academy of Dermatology, and I was on all sorts of national TV programs and in magazines and Teen Vogue and Cosmopolitan and all of these things. And it really catapulted me into feeling comfortable in my own skin and to realizing that I had a really important message that I needed to share and that other people needed to hear. Because if something that I said could help impact or even save a life, then it doesn't matter if I'm having anxiety about getting up in front of a group. I have an obligation to share my story.
Yeah, anxiety up in front of a group. I can't even imagine that. You've got a thing about you. I was like, I think that's a famous actress or something. It's really funny. Your whole presence is beautiful, and you probably could be. I think you can do just about anything. One of the things I know we're mindful of time here for somebody listening to the show. Can you give us a rundown on what we need to be paying attention to on our bodies as far as moles are concerned? And is it just moles, or, you know, is that how skin cancer shows up in the form of a mole that doesn't look so right, or are there other ways?
Yeah, I mean, I could, like you said, conscious of time, I could talk for hours on this, but there's some really great quick and easy tips for people in order to be able to spot changes on your skin. And first and foremost, it's really important to get an annual skin exam by a dermatologist, not a primary care. If that's all you can swing it, then that's fine. But we really urge people to see a dermatologist on an annual basis because they know what to look for and they can, you know, spot things that need to come off. And then for yourself, it's good to do a monthly skin exam or even every other month. Just know your moles, know your skin, and know if something's changing. And what we always tell people is remember the ABCDEs, and that's kind of an easy way to remember what to look for. And the A stands for asymmetrical, so any spot on your body that's not a perfect circle is something to keep an eye on. B is border irregularity, anything that has scalloped or notched edges or just has kind of a weird border, that's something to keep an eye on. C is color differentiation. Any spots on your skin that are maybe they're two-toned, maybe half of it's black, half of it's brown, or a light brown and a dark brown. Melanomas can even be red or blue. So anything that has pigmentation on your skin is something you want to look for. D is diameter, and that is anything that is bigger than the eraser on a pencil you would want to keep an eye on. And then E, evolution. I think this one is kind of the most important because you could have mold that has weird borders or weird color, but maybe you've had it for your whole life. But if anything starts to change, E for evolution, if anything starts to change or a new spot shows up, that's something you would want to bring to the attention of your primary care physician or your dermatologist. Because when we see things start to change in color or size or they start to itch, bleed, that is an indication that something, cells could be growing abnormally and something could be going wrong. So having an idea, you can go on to, you know, any website, but if you go to the Melanoma Foundation's website at mfne.org, we've got pictures of these things. We've got the ABCDEs right there. I always tell people, print it out, put it on your mirror, and once a month, just check yourself because that's you are your first line of defense. And with melanoma, prevention and early detection are so key. If you catch it early enough, it's curable, and that's what's important.
And does it come... Does this form of cancer come with, you know, like losing your hair and feeling lethargic or feeling ill, or is it just a change in a mole and there it is? I mean, are there any other symptoms or signs that you don't feel good?
Yeah, so that's what's really scary about melanoma is, I mean, there's a good thing. It's the only cancer that shows itself right there on the outside of your body. You can spot this cancer before it travels inside. When you start to get those types of symptoms where you're lethargic, you're not eating, you're not hungry, you feel a lump, a lot of melanomas are diagnosed through a swollen lymph node, it's already progressed to a stage that your chance of survival is diminishing. And so that's why it's so key. I can't say this hard enough. To know your skin and to have someone checking your skin like a dermatologist is so important because once you start to get those symptoms, it's just you're going to have to go through, you know, interferon or other types of treatments that are going to wipe you out. You're going to have flu-like symptoms, and then there's no guarantee that those treatments really are working. We haven't seen a ton of medical advancements in terms of the treatment of melanoma over the last 35 years. There's some new stuff that's coming out and some new interceptors and things like that are very scientific, but it's all about early detection.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate something you said earlier, and that is that, you know, sometimes it can be very embarrassing to go to a doctor and have to, like, disrobe and have them kind of prod and examine your entire body, but that's really critical in this situation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, and I will say the first time, right after my initial diagnosis, I was 20 years old, and I had to strip completely naked inside the doctor's office while they examined every part of my body. They took pictures of all the moles, and it was so traumatic for me. And, you know, I just remember being, like, so embarrassed because the whole reason I was led to a melanoma diagnosis is because of vanity issues. I wanted to be tan. I wasn't comfortable with my body. And now here I was, you know, getting examined. But it's completely worth it. You know, it's a doctor. You know, they see this all the time. They see people. They're examining people all the time. They're not judging you. They're not remembering you. They're there to help you and to be part of your plan for your medical, your healthy well-being. And so it may seem intimidating, but it's not.
That's such a good point you just made, that they're not there judging you. You know, they're there to keep you healthy and on the planet and alive. And so many of us, me included, I can't tell you the last thing I want to do is go to a doctor. It's like, oh, I hate that. You know, I just hate it. And it always feels like I have to drag myself to go. And I do, and I'm usually happy that I went, you know, for whatever reason. But, they're not judging you. They're there to help you.
Yeah,
that's really important.
I've learned, like, it's funny because now I almost look forward to going to the doctor's office because I go in now and I say, okay, here's what's going on. I'm not sleeping really well, or this type of food upset my stomach, or, you know, I had a sniffle, my nose was blocked. And it's like, I don't mind it anymore. I look forward to it because I almost look at it as like I'm maintaining a car. Like, I'm going in and I'm getting my body the tune-up, and I'm checking all the weird noises and the fun, you know, the funky things that are happening so that they can be fixed and I can maintain that car for another 15, 20 years. And that's how I look at it. Your body is your tool, and we torture our bodies. We put it through hell, and we do terrible things in the name of vanity to ourselves. And so it's going to your doctor. That's a place where you need to feel comfortable to be able to, you know, talk about these issues. And if you don't feel comfortable with that particular doctor, then find a new one. Find someone else that you are going to be able to be comfortable with having these conversations and pointing out things that might be suspicious.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about the story, I thought, wow, that is incredibly scary to be told that news. You were young. I mean, did you have a hard time, like, knocking down the fear or staying positive? How was that?
Yeah, I would say the first year was really difficult, and for multiple reasons. The first was that I really had a lot of self-blame. I felt that I had caused my cancer, and, you know, that it was because I was stupid and young and reckless that had led me to that diagnosis. So there was a lot of blame there. And then, you know, the other part, which is horrible to say, but I have to admit it, I was really upset that I couldn't go tanning anymore. I mean, that was... I can't explain. It's the equivalent of an eating disorder. It really is. There's this funny phrase that they use out there called tanorexic. And it's like having an eating disorder and then being forced to eat. And the amount of emotional trauma, like when I was told you have cancer and there's no more tanning for you, the place where my head went was, now I'm going to be ugly again. Now I'm going to be that gross pale girl that nobody wants to talk to. And my body's not going to look the same because we all know that tanning slims you down, and, you know, my acne is going to come back. And it was just this whole, like, I was really angry at myself, but then I was also really, really upset. And that seems silly because it's like, why, you know, why would I ever want to go tanning again after that? But it was an addiction. And that was really difficult. And that lasted for about a year. And it's something that I still, on a regular basis, deal with. I mean, I have to make a conscious effort to put sunscreen on a regular basis. I have to visit the dermatologist every 6 months. You know, I have to do these things now to be proactive. So it's not something that I can kind of just shrug off and say, oh, it happened 11 years ago. Who cares? It's something that I have to be really aware of. and face.
You know, Megan, I feel the same way. As a pale person with a pinkish complexion, I can't tell you how many times in my life, and I'm 45, almost 46, that I've wished for tan legs. I can't, and everything else on me will get tan, but my legs never will. And then, so for me to have a spot removed from my thigh, probably 10 years ago now, was freaked me out. I'm like, but they're never tan. You know, what the heck
right.
is that? How's that possible? You know, and I was a creature of the tanning booth as well. In the, I don't know what it was, the 80s. You know, the lay down ones. I'm curious, what amount of, would you ever go back in a tanning booth now? And is it people who tan religiously, or is it even one time in one of those things? How dangerous are they?
So they're so dangerous. They are just as carcinogenic as cigarettes. I have struggled even over the years, even when I got married this year, and even then, around that time, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could just hit the tanning bed a couple times to look really nice in my dress? And it was hard. It's still hard 11 years later. It's still difficult. And in terms of who melanoma affects, it's all different people. It can be people who use tanning beds on a regular basis. It can be someone who uses tanning beds but tans outside. Melanoma can occur on parts of the body that never see any UV light and don't see sun. There's different factors. It's genetic makeup, if you're predisposed. If you have a lighter complexion, light hair, light eyes, although it still affects people who say, well, I'm Italian, I don't burn. You know, we hear that all the time. And then it's a combination of those two things, of the genetics and of your behavior. So it's something that affects everyone. And like I said, this has really become a young woman's cancer. We used to primarily see it in older males, but now with tanning beds over the last 20, 30 years, we see... we're just seeing a huge influx in this happening to young women. So it's important that everybody protect their skin. People don't even know this, but Bob Marley died of melanoma. It can affect any skin tone. That's the reality.
Hey, you know, I went on your website, Chick Media, and you have this slogan, "Be Fierce." And I'm kind of thinking that applies to, like, cancer survival, but obviously also to your business. You just want to mention something about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, being fierce is kind of the motto that we've embraced, and I personally have embraced. I've learned, you know, having gone through this over the years, you face a lot of opposition. I've had to testify right there in front of tanning bed owners. I actually went on a talk show and had to talk to the head of the Indoor Tanning Association, and I don't think fierce necessarily means being cruel, being mean. It just means be confident in yourself and really know your stuff. And when you go out there and you project an image and you have a message to share, be sure of yourself. And that's what's important, because no one's going to listen. No one's going to believe you if you're kind of meek and you're unsure of what you're saying. You really have to embrace who you are and what your message is and just go out there and sell it.
Cool.
Well, we are short on time here. We've got to go, and you've got to go, and all that good stuff. But I thank you for being with us. I hope you'll come back again, because I have a feeling we could do a whole show on cosmetics and self-tanners and, you know, all those things, too, because there's all these things out there and sunscreen. So I'd like to invite you back for another half-hour show, if you can, in the next few months. We'd love to have you back.
I'm
but
there,
thank you.
Whenever you need
me. All right, such a joy to meet you at the conference there in Massachusetts, and we've got a kind of a cute video that we have out there. I can't remember. It's on your YouTube and my YouTube and everywhere.
It is. Yeah.
So hopefully,
yep.
Yeah, it's cute. But hopefully, and there's more information there about you, and so there's a video that goes with kind of this information. But Dr. Walter, anything else to wind up? Megan, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
And what's your website, too? Sorry to rattle on here. What's your website?
Okay.
Chick
you
Media?
It's chickmedia.us, and that's chikmedia.us, or you can visit mfne.org for the Melanoma Foundation's website, and then I'm on Twitter as Surviving Skin, so people are more than welcome to follow me there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, Dr. Walter, anything else before we go, or we're all good?
I just would say that she's amazing, inspiring, and powerful, and we have a lot to learn from her, and we got to, like, be smart about ourselves and our bodies, and it's great that she was here.
Yeah, I hope this show. I hope people listen to the show and share the show with people in their social media and with their friends and family and so forth, and hopefully the show and Megan's message will serve to help prevent deaths from this, because I think her real key point is that it's early detection and preventable if caught early and things like that. You know, there's a lot of things that can make it so it doesn't go into the later stages of cancer if caught early, and I think that's so important with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we'll thank you. I hope you feel better. I can
thank
hear
you.
Your cold kind of lingering, and we hope you feel better and enjoy your sunshine a little bit out there. With your sunscreen. And we'll see everybody on Thursday with Patty Farmer. She's a great networker. We'll be here on Thursday at 1 p.m. with Patty Farmer. All right. Thanks, Dr. Walter. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Network. For more information, just visit us at besteveryou.com.